It's the Best Lifing Show.
This podcast is your ultimate guide to holistic health and wellness.
Our team of best lifers share their stories.
Wait. What is this best lifing?
We transform your life from ordinary
to extraordinary
and help you live your dreams.
So now,
let's start best lifing.
Hello and welcome to the Best Lifing Show with Be Unique. My name is Julia Brodska and I'm the international best-selling author of the book Best Lifing. So today I have my wonderful guest, Emily, again.
Yoo-hoo.
Hello.
Hi.
And what are we talking about today?
So I think this is like a favorite topic for some people, but like the most hated topic for a lot of people.
Yes, I agree.
So it's called dieting. No one likes to do it, but sometimes we force ourselves to so we can look good.
Yes, but today's episode is about dieting on the go.
Oh, dieting on the go.
Dieting on the go. But before we get into all that, Emily, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself? Let's get into our diet stories. Let's share that with everybody.
Oh, my diet story. So I actually have celiacs. For the longest time when I was growing up, I always had like stomach issues and I had no idea what was wrong with me.
So wait, before you go on, like for people who don't know what that is, do you want to explain it?
Ooh, celiacs. It's a food allergy. I cannot consume rye, wheat, or barley.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's kind of like an intense version of IBS, if you know what IBS is.
No, maybe tell everyone.
Yeah, I don't know if everyone wants to know.
Okay, well then we'll keep that one a secret. Google, if you guys have that at home, it's free. Go for gold. So
my dieting story, I don't eat rye, wheat, or barley. So basically, I'm gluten-free. I'm one of those people. You know, I used to hate those people working in...
One of those people?
Yeah, I used
Sorry,
to-
everyone. I apologize on behalf
of Emily.
But
that's the thing. That's the thing. I used to work in a restaurant and I would hate those people. They're like, oh, I'm gluten-free. And I'm like, I hate you. But now I'm one of those people and I'm like, I totally get it. I'm so sorry for judging you.
Well, that's growth. Yeah. It's definitely growth. I'm glad we moved through that. Okay. So tell us more.
Okay. So then I got tested for food allergies. And my doctor was like, yeah, you have celiacs. And I was like, what? How did they not find this out years ago? You know, when we were younger and I had all these stomach issues, like, I don't even know why, like, food allergies weren't a thing. Like, a gluten allergy when I was, like, 10, it was non-existent. It's just so much more apparent nowadays that it's...
Yeah, because of the stuff that we're putting in our bodies.
Exactly.
And our immune systems, the way they're developing and stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, basically, that's my dieting restrictions. I tend to eat really healthy because of it. I eat a lot of, like, veg and protein, but don't get me wrong. I will go through, like, a pint of ice cream in,
guys,
like, 3 days.
Guys, don't listen. I had chicken wings for lunch.
I did. Okay, but most of the time, I don't eat like that. Most of the time, I don't eat like that. I was splurging.
She does bring lunch every day to work.
I was splurging.
It's Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
Hump day. That's what best life is all about. Sorry, I called you out. But I love the story about that you tell about, you know, a lot of people are worried about being overweight, but you've actually got the opposite story. Do you want to share that?
Oh, yeah. So the whole reason I ended up getting tested for my food allergy is because I had been seeing an endocrinologist, right? I started seeing the endocrinologist because I suddenly started noticing that I lost like 10 pounds and I was eating pizza, I was eating burgers, I was eating all of the above and I was still losing weight. And I was like, oh my goodness, what is going on? Mm. I found out that I have like some completely treatable thyroid disease. It's called Hashimoto's. It's not very common. Not a lot of people have it. I've only ever actually met one person who has it. And when I met her, it was like the best conversation I've ever had in my entire life because she could just relate to me. I was like, you listen, like I literally thought I was going crazy. And then I figured out it was just like a hormonal imbalance. So like, I'm all good. But it does restrict my dietary needs. Celiac disease does go hand in hand with Hashimoto's. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I ended up losing like 10 pounds. And I was like, what is going on? Everyone thought I was like anorexic. Everyone thought I was bulimic, but...
Yeah, talk us through that. Like, I mean, what does it feel like to be underweight as opposed to overweight? You know, because that's a common
problem. Everyone's like, oh my gosh, you have the thyroid thing where you can't gain weight. I wish I had that one. I'm like, no, you don't.
Yeah, that's
like, there's so many side effects that come along with it that like I would never wish on anyone to have in their entire life. Like it's,
yeah,
like it's depression, it's the weight loss,
yeah,
it's like your hands are raw and you have like no skin on your hands and the bottom of your feet and your hair's falling out and you're sleeping for 17 hours a day and you're still exhausted.
Yeah,
like, it's just like not a position I would ever wish anyone to be in. And when you're also feeling that way and you're losing a lot of weight and people think on the outside that you're like still okay because you're putting on a face, it just like makes you like feel more low.
Yeah.
So
that's crazy. So yeah, guys, anyone out there, if you think that being the opposite, like, of overweight is good, think again, because, you know, everybody does experience their own challenges in their own ways.
Yeah, for sure. So what about you, Julia? How have you experienced dieting in the past?
I was on the opposite side of you, mate. So pretty much, I just found myself overweight. I was about 30 pounds heavier than I am today. And pretty much, you know, I was just really lethargic. I was eating shit. Like, I wasn't feeling good about myself. Really had, you know, no energy, no self-esteem. I used to be quite disgusted when I looked in the mirror. And on top of that, I was in a bit of debt. Well, a lot of debt, actually. I won't, you know, downplay that. So I couldn't really fit in my clothes now, and I couldn't afford any more. So it was the worst feeling. I remember I used to wake up in the mornings and just really have like no desire or drive to get out of bed. I didn't want to exercise. I'd never been to a gym. That was just outrageous. That was just so far from, you know, where I was standing that I couldn't even possibly imagine. And to be honest, the gym intimidated me. I thought people out there, you know, were going to judge me. I didn't know what to do in the gym. I didn't know, you know, what to do in the classes or any of the postures in yoga or anything like that. So I really didn't really feel like there was any escape, you know, or any way of really achieving this. And then a friend of mine sort of had a, you know, deep conversation with me, and he helped me like break it down into not so big and dramatic. You don't need to lose 30, 50, whatever pounds. You just need to start making some daily changes in your life that's actually going to achieve that goal anyway, right? And, you know, he knew I couldn't jump from not wanting to get out of bed to straight into a gym, you know, lifting 200-pound weights or running on a treadmill for half an hour. That was not something I could do from where I was. So I had to make small incremental changes, and it started with, you know, small 30-minute walks on the beach and around the park with my dog and stuff. And slowly those walks turned into runs and, you know, had audio. Yeah, I really got there.
Oh, wow. I don't run for fun, so props to you.
Yeah, no, I don't run anymore. Definitely not that much of a runner. But, yeah, so then those walks turned into runs. I started, you know, listening to audiobooks and really enjoying it. And then I thought maybe there's something more interesting to do. And so I tried all different sorts of exercise, like getting into sports, playing tennis, going to the gym. I actually ended up falling in love with the gym, but I'll save that story for you guys for a little bit later. And, yeah, essentially that's how I ended up losing weight. It didn't take that long. It took about, you know, I lost all the big weight at the beginning, but I had a developed a good, consistent lifestyle and, you know, had a body that I was quite happy with.
Nice. I love that for you.
Thanks, babe.
Oh, so, okay, in your own words, Julia, what is dieting to you?
So I think dieting is more of, or should be looked at as more of a way of life rather than something that we do. Because if you set yourself restrictions and limitations, you start living with a bit of a like scarce mentality or a bit of a
right.
reward and punishment mentality, right? So we can't look at food as a reward, like pizza or cake.
Why?
Because then every time you eat healthy, you're going to associate it, you know, with negative emotion. And then every time you eat well, it's going to feel like a punishment. And same thing with the gym, right? You should be embracing it. And if you don't like the gym, that's fine. Go, you know, play a sport or do something else that you like. But when we start living in that reward and punishment mentality, we really start to resent and hate it. And then eventually, you know, not go or not eat well. Because
now I see what you're saying. That makes sense for sure.
And what about you? What do you think dieting is?
I mean, for me, dieting is eating to lose weight, right? Isn't that like the whole point of a diet?
And I think that's exactly the problem with mindset, is because we think that, you know, we're going to diet to lose weight, or potentially, you know, you could even diet to gain weight as well. But because we have that mindset, it's like we're only doing this to get something, that becomes the problem. And then we tend to give up. Whereas we think of the actual word diet, it's the food that you eat, your diet, you know, like cow's diet is grass. Our diet should be whatever we incorporate into our meals, that actually becomes our diet rather than making it a doing thing like dieting. So right. Once you have that consistency, you really don't, there's no need for a diet anymore, or for going on a diet, or dieting essentially, because it's already part of your life and it's already easy and it's already there.
So would you say a diet on the go is not restricting yourself to foods, or your diet on the go is just your regular diet on the go?
It's your regular diet on the go, absolutely. So, like, think you do it very well. So you do it very subconsciously, Emily, actually. So I'll break down exactly what you do. On a daily basis, you diet on the go, because when you come to work and when you go, you know, to Trader Joe's or whatever, you'll go and buy yourself naturally healthy food because that's just part of your diet, you know, like... like the cow that eats grass, Emily likes her broccoli and quinoa or whatever, right?
I have to have yogurt every morning.
She loves her yogurt.
I have a snack
know?
Drawer. I have a very aggressive snack drawer, but it's all drawer, healthy
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, it's all healthy stuff. It's not like, you know, salty,
it's not like Doritos,
oily, yeah, and chips and stuff.
Yeah.
So, and that's exactly how you're not dieting, essentially. You're just incorporating what you like into your diet. Then today we have a special little lunch and you're like, well, I'm going to treat myself and I can afford those chicken wings and truffle fries, which were delicious, mind you. Like, we can afford it because every other day we choose, you know, we're not actually dieting. We're not going, oh, these chicken wings, you know, I shouldn't be doing this. We know we already ate healthy every other meal this week. Whatever, some chicken wings aren't going to mess up our life today, are they?
No, they're not.
And that's the difference between if you were on a diet today or if you were dieting, would you be allowed those chicken wings?
Ooh,
no.
Probably not.
See, there'd be a lot of guilt attached and stuff to it. And that's really what I would say is dieting on the go. Just figuring out your diet. I like to aim for 75-25, so 75% of my meals to be good, clean, healthy, mainly because it makes me feel good these days.
I just feel so much more energized when
yeah.
I eat better.
Like, you know, I think I'm quite happy with my weight. Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're not really at a point where we're trying to necessarily achieve something. At the gym, yeah, I want to get stronger. But in terms of weight, it's really more about how I feel and, you know, that clean,
no, absolutely
energized, great feeling that we experience when we're having a nice diet.
Right. But I feel like anyone who is on the go, when they're trying to maintain a healthy diet, it's going to be a little bit more difficult for them. Would you agree?
It could be. Can you talk a bit more about what you mean? What kind of difficulties do you think?
I mean, for someone who's like really on the go, someone who doesn't even have time to like go grocery shopping and they're always eating, you know, whatever's convenient. They're always ordering food. They're always going through the drive-thru, you know, they're or like.
And in what position, like, give me an example of where you would have to always do that.
Someone who travels for a living.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one because I definitely, like, I spent a whole year traveling last year for work. And it's definitely, definitely harder, especially when you're living in hotels and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Because you can't cook your own food.
No, you can't.
You know,
exactly.
I mean, unless you get a hotel with a kitchen.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a little bit more difficult.
Well, what I did, like, in that situation, I did ask my boss for Airbnb. So I'm like, I don't care if it's cheap. I just really need a kitchen because, like, the food does grow on you. Or, like, the other option is because there was a whole month where I just stayed, like, at a hotel, a whole entire month, and I was just ordering every day, like, you know, from their restaurant or whatever's nearby. And essentially, like, I just started talking to the chef, and this is a real true story.
I could just see you walking in the kitchen with the chef and being like, hey, mate,
can
I get this?
And I just be like, listen, you know, and I made a friendship with him, and I explained my situation, like, you know, and I was there every day and stuff. And so in the end, you know what he used to cook me every day pretty much for lunch? A little bit of steak, like 100 grams, and a bowl of broccoli. And he would just make that for me, and it was no oil. I had a little bit of lemon juice, no rubbish on it, and I just started eating like that. So there is always, like, when there's a will, there's a way. You can always get something from Publix. You can get Instacart delivered. You know, you can choose a healthier option at the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I know going through fast food drive-thru is quicker and easier, but you can't tell me that it's not possible. It might not be easy. Yeah,
right.
But you can make those choices, absolutely. Even if you do choose to, you know... hit the fast food joints, then go for Goli. There's nothing wrong with that. There's definitely a time and a place. Kids love, you know, their little fast food meals. So I'm not saying don't ever do it, but you know, you can make a healthier choice there. Like, mm-hmm. or it, when I was
some
working.
Some of them do have healthy options, like exactly. salads and all of that nice stuff.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, just like, you know, if you don't have to, and if that's your excuse, there is other ways. So definitely come with your own salad, or because I know, you know, you might want to work there with their Wi-Fi or have a cup of coffee or something like that. It might be convenience. But I like, you know, you can still make a healthier choice there, or bring something else, or just, you know, get what you need to get through that period of time, and then
absolutely.
Yeah, keep going. Yeah, so to summarize, I've definitely been one of those people, and if you are one of those people that are living life on the go, we're not going to say dieting on the go, we're going to say living life, make a diet that is suitable, or, you know, suitable for that, and create a plan and follow that plan and stick to it, and just, you know, incorporate that into your daily life.
Yeah, I love that so much.
And so that kind of brings us into meal prep, right? Do you meal prep, Emily?
No.
Why not?
You know, okay, so long story short, I used to date a chef, so, like, I don't really cook. People cook.
The honesty.
Yeah. But, you know, for the longest time, there was this really good meal prep place by where I used to live. Mm. And I would go in there and buy the meal prepped, like, already made foods. And those were awesome for my lifestyle I was living. I was super busy with work. I'd never had time to, like, meal prep at home, and let alone, like, I didn't want to. But it was super convenient, and it was nice because I would go in, just get all my meals for the week, and have them all in my fridge. It actually looked really pretty.
Yeah, exactly. Nice and organized.
And, yeah, that was super convenient for my lifestyle, at least.
Oh, I could totally vouch for that approach.
Yeah.
One of my favorites.
Well, of course, Julia, like, the lady of the meal prep business, right?
Yes, yes. So, yeah, like, I definitely recommend, buying from a meal prep business. I even still do it today, like, when I have busy weeks or busy times, definitely don't have time to cook, so I'll just buy from a meal prep company. Nice and easy. We get those meals at Trader Joe's. That's the same kind of concept.
It's so awesome.
By the way, we're really number one fans of Trader Joe's. Thank
oh my
you
gosh,
thank you for being there.
You should have seen her.
Yes, I definitely like shopping. And then if you are a meal prepper like me most of the time, I've got a few cool tips for you guys. So first of all, you don't have to meal prep on a bloody Sunday, okay? I know people have told you that. I know that's what it seems. Whatever your schedule is, whenever you've got time, meal prep. And you don't have to do it all in one go. So if you've got more time on a Monday after work and that's your favorite day, actually that's what I used to do. Plus, fun fact, usually, I don't know where you are in the world, but from my experience, shopping on a Monday is much more pleasant than shopping on a weekend.
Oh my gosh, I did that this week, actually. Yeah. I went to the store and there was no one in there, and I was like, this is awesome.
Exactly. It's so much better. So I just finish work on a Monday, go straight to the store, grab all my stuff, and then spend a couple of hours meal prepping. And then one of the other things I often hear is, oh, I don't like eating the same food every week. Don't worry, me either. I don't think many people do. So I get a few, like, small cuts of things. You know, sometimes you have to buy it in packs of 2 or 4, whatever, 1 kilo, however many pounds. but, you know, I just, like, freeze half of it, use half of it, cook one piece of everything, and then cook a little bit of, I don't know, quinoa, veggies, whatever, and just put them into boxes. Don't have to actually make up a meal. And then throughout the week, you can just mix and match those ingredients and, you know, take what you actually feel like eating that day, because, yes, definitely one big batch of spaghetti bolognese with green pasta is not exciting for anyone.
I'm sure you get over it after a
Absolutely.
While, right? Yeah.
No matter what it is, or meatballs with rice or whatever. Yeah,
meatballs.
It doesn't have to be boring.
Meatballs
mushy
and rice,
mush.
That's an interesting combo. I should try
oh,
that.
Oh, I make some good ones.
Ooh,
I'll make you some
ooh,
soon.
But they have to be gluten-free, like not
Absolutely.
The breadcrumbs.
I would never do that to you.
Oh, my angel. So this is actually something that we specialize in. We teach a little bit about it in our Gourmet Guide to Best Lifing course. Julia, do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, absolutely. I'd love Ooh. To. So pretty much in the Gourmet Guide to Best Lifing course, we talk about creating fulfillment in the physical area of life. And we break those down into 3 different areas, which is food, fitness, and feelings. So the biggest component is always going to be feelings, right? Because as I said at the beginning, how you feel about your diet or whatever, you know, your exercise routines and stuff, mm-hmm. how you feel about those are going to greatly impact you. And if you think that, you know, every time you go to the gym, you're punishing yourself and it's work, well, eventually you're going to beat yourself up and you're going to be like, oh, I didn't go today. I feel really bad about myself, or, you know, I didn't really like do as much as I could. And the more you punish yourself, the quicker you, you know, you beat yourself down and eventually you give up. So that's mm-hmm. one of the big things.
Right, right.
Do you want to tell us about the food component? You know all about that?
Yeah, sure. So first we break down your physical fundamentals, you know, and then we're going to go into your basic nutrition 101. We're going to break down your carbs, your fats, and your proteins. And then we're going to give you all the resources that you need to get started on your journey. You know, this includes a macro cheat sheet and all of the fun things that come with the course.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of great resources. And then the best part is throughout, we also do heaps of learning checks too.
So let's talk about some of the common obstacles people have when it comes to meal prepping.
Oh yeah, that's a good one. And, you know, listen out if any of these, you know, currently or have, you know, ever before applied to you. So in my time working with clients, I've heard a lot of the same things, and I've personally even used some of these obstacles, what I now call excuses, myself. So, you know, things like, oh, it's all too hard. And the truth is, it is all too hard. Everything's hard until you learn it, understand it, and implement it into your life, right? Walking was hard when we were little at one point.
Oh,
riding
right.
a bike was hard. And then another one that I always get is meal prep is really boring. So like we just mentioned before, you know, soggy chicken with mushy vegetables, there's no flavor to it, I'm bored, I'm sick of eating the same thing. And my favorite one is I don't have time. You can apply that excuse to anywhere in life, or you could not. The choice is totally up to you, and we can do a little time exercise right after this.
Mm.
We'll do it with the audience, so then I can really prove to you guys that there's no such thing as not having enough time. A few of the other ones that we get is I hate eating old food, so like leftovers.
Like leftovers.
Yeah.
So many people hate leftovers.
Yeah. I know a lot of people that have, and there's a bit of a mindset thing to it. And sometimes leftovers do just taste bad if you shove them in the microwave. But I love to do what we call revive leftovers. So pretty much, yeah, and I do it all the time. So like you can make a basic, like, I don't know, red Italian sauce dish. And then the next day you could use that same thing, throw it on the pan, add some Mexican herbs to it, and you've got yourself a bit of a fusion. And usually if you pick the right overpowering sort of herbs and spices, you definitely won't even have the previous taste because you've got a whole new
dish
flavor.
Now.
Yeah, a whole new dish. I do that all the time. And I don't know how to cook is another one, which I don't know how is another excuse like the time one. Mate, your resources are all available. You've got YouTube now. You've got courses left, right, and center. You've got so many different options if you don't know how to do anything in life. So, yeah, absolutely. That definitely cannot hold strong as an excuse anymore. You want to do this time exercise with me?
Sure. How does this go?
All right. I'll get you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Fantastic. All right. Audience out there, you guys do the same with us. Stay along. All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to write down all the things that consume our time. Yeah, we're doing our time. Let's do it. Now, guys, Emily's never done this before, and trust me, she's never going to be able to tell me that she doesn't have time again. All right, let's write everything down. So what do we have to do? How many hours a day do you sleep?
Well, realistically, I would like to sleep 8.
Okay, so let's write sleep 8 hours.
Okay.
We're going to say 8 hours a day, which is 56 hours a week. So write 8 and then 56 next to it. All right, how long does it take to drive to work?
An hour.
Cool, so an hour each way, 5 days a week, that's 10 hours a week, 2 hours a day. So just write commute, 2 hours a day, and 10 hours a week. So after commute, what's next?
Then it's work.
Okay.
So I spend 8 hours a day, five days a week at work. So
that's 40 hours.
40 hours.
Cool, after that?
Then I go to chores.
Yoga, chores, yeah.
Chores. So, I mean, ideally, my mother would love for me to do like 10 hours of cleaning a week, but that's
you're
just
not really doing it.
No,
she's got an hour a week over here. We all know she doesn't, I mean, an hour a day.
Okay.
She so doesn't do that, but we'll add it. That's fine. You can have an hour a day, 5 days a week for chores, an hour a day, 5 days a week for yoga. social time. What about hanging out with friends?
So socializing is kind of a weekend thing for me. I mostly do it Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I mean, last night was Taco Tuesday, and I did do a little tacos last night, but that's different.
Okay, so social, how many hours a day and week?
I mean, I don't know. I'm a very social person in general.
Okay.
But I don't know. What would you say?
I would say, I don't know, if you're going to go out for the whole weekend, both days, 8 and 8 is 16 hours.
Yeah.
Chuck it on there then.
Yeah, I guess.
Stretch 16 hours a week, and then let's give you maybe another 4 hours if you want to go out 4 more days a week. That's plenty of time, right? That's 4 times a week is socializing plus 2 full 8-hour days.
Yeah.
So that equals a total of 20 hours. Just put that in the 20-hour week box. Beautiful. All right, anything else? What about scrolling on Facebook? You want some time for that
too? Yeah, I'm more of an Instagram girl, but
whichever.
Yeah, I spend a lot of time for that.
You want some time for that?
Probably like at least an hour and a half every day.
Okay, so social media, let's say an hour and a half a day. That's 10.5 hours a week. All right, anything else you can think of? Let's say getting ready time as well. So what?
So I would say like an hour.
Yeah,
seven hours a week.
Okay, and then how much for errands?
For errands for the whole week, I think I would say like 3 hours.
Okay, great. So let's have a look at your list. We've got sleep, drive, work, yoga, chores, social time, social media, errands, getting ready. Anything else we can think of for that list that we need to do every single day or week?
No, not really.
All right, and I hope you guys have done the same at home. Now what we're going to do is add up the hours. All right, so we're going to add all of that up. We've got 56, we've got 50. Cool, you've got those numbers coming through for us, Emily. All right, what's your total?
Drum roll.
56.5. So if we've got 168 hours in a week minus 156.5, that means you've still got 11.5 hours that you haven't accounted for. That's a lot of time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And do you reckon you ever say, I don't have time?
Probably, yeah.
I know I do. So this is an exercise that I did like a really, really long time ago, and it made me realize that we do have time, we just don't know what we're wasting it on. And we didn't even like talk about, you know, cutting down an hour and a half on social media or the fact that, you know, maybe you don't need to go out 4 times a week during the week, for example, if you really wanted more time to do something else. There's definitely things like we gave you maximum everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Except I still don't believe she does that many chores.
I really do.
Okay, all right.
I don't know what it is. Like, my laundry is always through the roof.
Yeah, you wear a lot of different clothes. Yeah, everyone. She's got 5 outfits a day, everyone. But no, yeah, at least you look good. That's the best one.
Thank you.
But so what I'm saying is, like, we always do love to make an excuse for why we're not doing what we're doing. But definitely time cannot be one of them. And I do this exercise time and time again whenever because I always, like, go through the same like emotions that I used to. I just handle them better now, right? So there will be still times where I'm like, oh my God, I'm so busy. I don't have time for anything. I don't know what I'm going to do. I just sit down and do this exercise. What am I really actually doing? And how is it actually that I don't have time? And this actually has never failed on anyone who's never done it before. But it also has only ever failed like when I've done it on myself and I've genuinely overscheduled, which then that's another whole new learning experience for me. So please write in if this exercise has failed you and you really don't have time, because then we can help you manage your schedule.
So I guess essentially what you're saying is if I wanted to cook, then I did have time to meal prep.
Exactly. But also if you don't want to and you'd rather, you know, focus on
Other things. Like
binge
watching Netflix.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, you didn't put that in there.
No, I should have.
That's totally going in your social time.
I know.
I'm like a mother sometimes.
So this brings us to the end, sadly.
Oh, so sadly. I had so much fun.
Yeah, that was so much fun. We do have a really interesting event on Saturday, if anyone's interested.
Yeah, tell us about it.
So it's our Best Lifing self-love session here at our wonderful office in sunny South Beach.
Yes, right here. We have a beautiful big balcony and we're going to be doing lots of fun things like yoga and journaling, meditation, going through each of the 7 areas of life. You can join us either virtually or in person right here at 1680 Michigan Avenue, Miami Beach.
Ooh,
33139. That's the one. And Emily, tell us, how can they get tickets?
So you can get your tickets on our Instagram page, bestlife.ing. Go ahead and hit the link in bio, and you'll be directed to buy tickets on our meetup page.
Thank you so much. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Oh, and I'll see you next time.
See you next time. Bye.
Bye.
That's it for today. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed the Best Lifing Show and you want to get in touch,
you can find and follow us on all social platforms or visit our website, bestlifing.com.
Be sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave a review.
Till next time, mates.
Stay blessed and best lifing.